Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Good morning. It's good to have you guys with us again today as we do an online streaming. I've got great news for you. He loves you. Well, didn't the praise team do an awesome job this morning, which they always do? And the reason for that is they sing not as a performer. They sing as a worshiper, and they play as a worshiper. That makes all the difference in the world because it brings the anointing, and it brings so much strength to them and so much strength to the people as they worship God. So they're not worshiping the church. They're not worshiping people. They're not worshiping their music. They're not worshiping their instruments. They're not worshiping the songs. They're worshiping their God. And when you do that, there's no performance. There's just no performance. God's not looking for a performance. He's looking for a heart. He's looking for a heart that will do the things that he sees as a worshiper. You know, one of the things that, you look at, God's really not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. Worship's all around the place. There's a lot of worship going on of idols, of things. People worship a whole lot of things. If worship was there and that's all he wanted was somebody just to worship, then he found it in the earth. But he's looking for true worshipers. He's looking for those that will sell out to everything else and everything else and be sold out for him. Amen. Now that's great news. That's called the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. Well, I've got some more good news for you. Don't know if you know it or not, but this is breaking news. As of yesterday evening, a federal judge in North Carolina has temporarily banned our governor's restrictions upon the church and the number that we can have. So it's temporarily banned. So next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. Next Sunday, we will be able to meet here, gather together without the restriction of 10 or less. We can just bring everybody in. Now, they do recommend that we follow some safety guidelines, and we will do that. The elders will meet, and the staff, your leadership team will meet to find out, and pray and discuss what that's going to look like. Because not only do we want to come together as one people in this house in honor of God and his name, but we want to make sure, number two, that everybody is safe. Now, safety is huge in this house. It really is. We want the people to be protected. That's part of a shepherd's job, is to protect the people. And so we have to look at those things, but we are going to be looking at those. So be staying in tune with Facebook, and we'll send out a one call. We'll also, I don't know how all we're going to be able to communicate it. We may send out a video for everybody as well so you can know what's required of you when you come and what we're going to do and how all of that works. Well, one thing I'd like to do, I'd love to spend the whole hour just worshiping and praising God. For this thing is, this is a breakthrough for us. It really is. And I appreciate the churches and the organization that have stood together and made the appeal, actually made lawsuit, saying, hey, we're being treated unfairly. We're not being treated justly. You're letting this group happen and all of these numbers, but yet you're only limiting us to three. So the judge ruled temporarily, as I say, for us to be able to meet this coming weekend, next weekend. And so because the following Friday, I think it is, on the 29th, they'll have a hearing as to how this is going to work out. Is it going to stay? Is it going to go away? Is it just for this one weekend? So they're going to decide all that. But I'm looking forward to it being, yes, we can continue to do and worship and continue to meet together. So I'm excited about that. Are you? If you're excited about that, I know if you're watching online, you can post over here saying, you can say if you're excited about it and if you're looking forward to being here. But just for you guys that don't know about us as far as the time, just like online is 10:30, we'll start here at 10:30 next Sunday. We'll just have to pray about it and talk to the leadership about it and find out what is the exact way we need to do it so we can keep you safe and give you the very freedom that you have to come here and worship worship God collectively. I'm just really excited about that. I really am. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about learn to adjust in your journey. Learn to adjust in your journey. If we do not learn how to adjust as we go on a journey, we will not get to where we're going. And we want to talk about a little bit about that. I want to tell you, Francis Frangipane said it this way. He said, the first step of any journey, of every journey, is departure. Well, guess what? If you never leave, you're not going anywhere. If you never leave where you are, you're not headed anywhere. You're just stuck. You're going to stay where you are. Some people are that way spiritually. They're not going anywhere because they've never left where they are. They're satisfied with the milk. They're satisfied with just the minimal thing. And God has a whole storehouse of His kingdom and resources that He has for us that He wants us to experience and wants us to enjoy and wants us to live out. You know, when we have Christ inside us, when we have the Holy Spirit inside us, He's given us everything already. But the success of your journey will depend upon the success or failure, I should say, will depend upon your adjustments. You know, you look at things, maybe you go on a trip and, you think about the trip and what kind of adjustments do you make? And especially if you're going to drive, there's all kind of adjustments that you have to make in the middle of your journey. Once you start the car and get it to rolling, you know, you have to put it in gear. You have to put it in gear. That's an adjustment. You know, and then you have to, sometimes you'll adjust the visor because the sun is too low and you want to keep the sun out of your eyes. You adjust the wipers if it's raining. You adjust all of these things, the mirror on the side, the mirror, rear view mirror. You have those things that needs adjusting that will get you to your journey. You adjust the accelerator. How many of you know that if you don't press on the gas, you're just going to sit still with the motor running? I mean, you have to engage the gear, then you have to press the accelerator for it to start your movement. Sometimes you need to press it harder. For some of us, we do that too many times. Going home. You know, or going somewhere else. Sometimes we press it too much. So we need to make that adjustment. Once we see the speed limit sign, we need to make that adjustment. Say, oop, I'm going a little bit too fast. So we back up. We make the adjustment to be able to get to the journey, get to the place, the destination of where we're going to want to go. I don't know if you realize it or not, but during this month, the International Space Station, some of you I know have been catching that thing in the sky going by. And I see you, brother. And so it's been a wonderful thing to be able to see that space station from Earth. Why is that? Why is that so wonderful to me? Well, I'll tell you why it is. I'll tell you why it's wonderful to me. It's an amazing thing to see that thing start over here, just show up. You know, there's nothing there, and all of a sudden it just shows up. It looks like a star, but it looks bigger. But it's not blinking. It's not doing anything. It's just a reflection of the sun that's on the space station. And then it just starts moving across the sky. And it's, you only get to see it, you know, last night and the night before is about 6 minutes. You get to see it for 6 minutes. Sometimes you only get to see it for a minute, you know, but it is amazing to watch. And I said, and you say, well, it's just a dot in the sky. True. But let me tell you about that dot in the sky. That dot in the sky is over 300 feet long. That's a football field. And not only that, it weighs 925,000 pounds. 925,000 pounds. It travels anywhere from 200 or 248 miles high. It's out of our atmosphere, right? It's in space. It's in the lower end of the space, but it's in space. But it's 925,000 pounds, and it's around 230, 248 miles high. And it's traveling at 17,500 miles an hour. It goes in the orbit of the Earth in 90 minutes. It has circled the Earth in 90 minutes. That's why I'm saying, wow. But if they did not make a slight adjustment it would only last for a month, and then it would be destroyed. Why is that? Because as it orbits, it begins to decline in its distance between the Earth and it. And if it enters into the Earth's atmosphere, it has no heat shields, it has no heat panels, it'll burn up. So every month, watch this, every month, what's that got to do with adjustments? Every month they have to turn the thrusters on to, they call it bumping. They bump it back up into the space so it doesn't enter in the Earth's atmosphere. Without that adjustment, you wouldn't get to see that. So there's adjustments in every journey that we take. You know, you think about this thing, by the way, I want you to go to Psalms 115. When you begin to look at this, and you say, okay, going to the moon. Can you imagine, okay, you got this little dial, and this little dial is where the nose of that rocket or that space shuttle is, and you're looking and you want to point that thing, whatever you got to do to point it, toward the moon. Now, in all rationale, you'd say, that ought to work. Point it right at it and fire away. Well, that's not how it works. You know, they have all these formulas and all these things that they've figured out that they have to have adjustments. Once the rocket is launched, they have to make adjustments the whole time getting to the moon or getting to where they're going. Adjustments are essential. You know, when you think about the moon, it's like, I'll tell you this little funny thing. One time, there's two guys that was wanting to be real famous. Hey, we need to do something to be famous. We need to be real famous. I really want to be somebody. Well, what can we do? What can we do? And one says, I know. We'll go to the moon. We can't go to the moon. Somebody's already done that. Well, they've already gone to the moon. We won't be famous for that. It's already been done. And the other one said, well, we'll go to the sun. They said, man, we cannot go to the sun. We'll be burned up. He said, the other guy said, oh, you crazy thing. We won't go now. We'll go at night. Okay. We'll go to the sun at night and we won't get burned up. All right. Stick to preaching, Pastor. Just stick to preaching and you'll be better off. All right. One of the things that, how do we make adjustments? One of the things that God will get us to make adjustments with is concerning our trust and our worship. I want you to go to Psalm 115, verse 1 through 9. It says, verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory because of thy loving kindness, because of thy truth. So it says, not to us belongs the glory. The glory don't need to come to us. It's to you, and it's to your name. And it's your name that gets the glory. Then he says, why should the nations say, watch this, why should the nations say, you begin to hear why they're saying, not to us, God, not to us, but to you. Once you hear this, you'll begin to understand why they're saying that. They said, why should the nations say, where now is their God? See, they're waiting on God to do something, and he hadn't done something. He hadn't done anything. He hasn't done what they wanted to do. So God's making an adjustment. God's making an adjustment with them. You know, God's the same all the time, but he adjusts us. He makes adjustment in things to adjust us and to get us either back on course or a truer course or to pick us up or whatever it needs to happen. But it says, why should the nations say, where now is their God? I mean, it's almost, you know, why are you letting them mock you? They're mocking us and mocking you. But listen to this. Here's the answer. But our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. You know, that's one of the great verses that I use sometimes when somebody asks me why about God. Somebody wants to challenge why we do this, why we dance. Why, you know, I said, God sits in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. You know, I said, because when he leads us to dance, which is in the Bible, when he leads us to worship in different ways, you know, he wants us to understand that he is God. He is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. But everything he does is just. It's holy. It's righteous and it's true. Then it goes on and does this. Watch this. And he addresses the worship thing here. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. And they have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. And they cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them. And but he doesn't stop there. Watch this. He doesn't stop there. Because we can say, okay, so those that make the idols become like the idols. But he also says, everyone who trusts in them. You might not have made it, but if you trust in it, you become like it. And then he goes on and says, oh, Israel, and this, he's talking to us as well here. And he says, trust in the Lord. Why is he saying that? Because he's saying two things in this thing that we need to capture. Whatever you worship, you will become like. Whatever you worship, you will become like. So he wants you to become more and more like his son, correct? Yes, that's what the Bible says. We are to become more and more like Jesus. Well, in order for us to do that, we're really going to have to get our worship connected to Jesus, fully connected to him, so we can become like him. Now, here's the other thing about it. Whatever you worship will determine what you trust. Whatever you worship will determine what you trust. Because he said, those who trust in them will worship. So what you're worshiping is what you're trusting. Have you ever been in a time to where it was real difficult and hard, and all of a sudden you know what God said, but this other way looks so easier, so much easier. But God has said this. I know we've all been in those places, right? See, that is the adjustment. See, that's God saying there needs to be an adjustment here. And I want you to make this adjustment, because if you trust in something other than me, other than who I am, then you're going to worship that, and you're going to become like it. Here's something. If you trust in your religion, you will worship your religion instead of worshiping him. Instead of a relationship, it'll be a form. You know, the Bible talks about a people that had a form of godliness, right? But what? They denied the very power thereof. They denied the very power of the godliness. Why? Because all they had was a form. All they had was something that they trusted. They trusted in a form more than trusted in him. So therefore, there was no power. And that's the reason that God wants us to understand that what we trust in is what we will worship. And when we worship, it will reveal what we trust in. Y'all with me? I hope you're getting something out of this. Excuse me. Our worship will actually be exposed when there's difficulty that's going on. When we go through trials and go through difficult times and go through these things, we will actually discover what we're really trusting in, because if my dependency is upon something else other than God, then I'm trusting in something else other than who he is. So I have to make adjustments as I go. You know, you may have accepted Christ in your life, and I hope you have. All of you, I hope you have. And I pray that you have. And if you haven't, you need to. But even in having faith in Christ, faith in him to the point of having the salvation, that's just the beginning of your adjustments. From that point on, everything is about an adjusting to our trusting fully and completely in him and not in anything else. Does that make sense? So he wants us to do that. But just know that the difficulties and the hardships is going to expose the depth of what we trust, who we trust, and what and who we worship. You know, Jesus went through that. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says this. Let us lay aside every encumbrance. Let us lay aside every weight. Everything that's heavy, everything that's burdening us, and sin that does so easily entangle us. let's lay aside these heavy things that are really bogging us down and the sin that so easily entangles us so we can't walk. We're always tripping. If you're entangled, you're always tripping. You're always stalled out in your movement. He said, let us lay aside these things and watch this. Here's our journey. We're all on a journey. Here's our journey. And let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance. The race that is set before us. Each one of you, including myself, has a race that has been set before you by the Lord. And He wants us to run that race fully. He wants us to be successful in that race. And here's how He says, do it. Here's an adjustment. You got to run. You got to run. You see what's set before you. You got to run the race. And here's what He says to do in verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. One translation says, looking at Him. Looking at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. This is my race that I'm going through, and I have to look unto Jesus to be able to endure, go in this race. And He says, He is the author and the finisher. He is the author and the perfecter. He perfects our faith. There's areas that you and I need to have faith in our journey and to trust Him in certain things that we're really not maybe consciously trusting in Him for. But He says this, I love this thing. He says, I'm the author of that faith. Whatever area that you need faith in, He says, I'm the author of it. I can start it for you. I can give you the faith that you need. I can give it to you. I'll give it to you. And not only that, I will perfect it after I give it to you. I'll give you the faith for whatever it is in your life that you need, that you need to grow and finish the race that you need to finish. He said, I'm the author of it. Nobody else authors the faith. God does. He said, I'll give you the faith. Not only that, I'll finish it. I will perfect your faith in you. Now, unfortunately, a lot of that perfection goes on during hard times. A lot of that perfecting goes on when it's difficult. You know, it's sort of easy when you're on top of a mountaintop and say, well, you know, I got faith. Well, what do you got faith for? You know, you're on the mountaintop. So that's not what you have to have faith for. You have to have faith when you don't see it. You have to have a trust when you don't see it. But He wants us to see that this is how Jesus did it. And He said, I'm the author. And this is what He said. He said, He is the one who, for the joy that was set before Him, He said, this race was set before you. And there was one that was set before Jesus. And He said, there was joy set before Him in His race. There was joy that was set before Him. And because of that, He was able to see it. And He was able to endure the cross. He was able to endure the cross, endure the hardship, despising the shame, and watch this. What's the result? And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I want to ask you something. What did He see? What did Jesus see? He saw the road that was set before Him, but in that He saw what? He majored on what? He didn't major on the difficulty and the pain. He majored on what? What was the word? Joy. He majored on the joy of going through the cross, going to the cross. He majored on the joy. He didn't major on, he knew his pain. He knew his suffering. He despised the shame. See, the end result, one of the end results of his joy was that he got to sit down on the right hand of God. Think about that. There is authority and power given to us that we can rest in when we see the joy and make the adjustment of that joy in our journey. Wouldn't it have been easier? You know, wouldn't it have been easier to say, you know, I've had enough. After about 3 or 4 lashes, I'm done. I've had enough. They're not worth it. That's not Jesus. Why? He saw the joy. He focused on the joy that was beyond the suffering. See, this thing of seeing the joy took the bite, took the sting out of the pain that he was about to go through. He still had the pain. He still had the suffering. But what was he focused on? What caused him to endure that? Because that's what it said. The joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured the cross. Another one of the things that he saw, but the joy was in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. That, here it is, here's why. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his stripes, by his wounds, you were healed. What else did he see in his joy? He saw you and I becoming free. No longer, Brother Dan, no longer slaves to sin, slaves to fear. I'm no longer a slave. Why? Because why? I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child. I'm a child of God. So he saw you and I becoming free. He saw you and I dead to sin and alive unto him. Dead to sin and alive unto him. Here's one more. I know my time's running out. Here's one more. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. Here's something else that he saw in the joy. He made you alive together with him. You get to be living with him forever. Having forgiven all our transgressions, and watch this, and canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which were hostile to us. He saw us being free from the hostility of the accusations that were true against us. All of the certificate of debt was true. And he said, I'm going to take that out of the way. And he goes on to say, not only that, he said, it's hostile to you. He said, he has taken it away, having nailed it to the cross. What did he see? He saw you and I completely free. He said, that's worth it. I'll endure this pain. I'll endure this hardship because I see beyond the pain. I see beyond the hardship because I see God's promise. I see my Father's promise. I see my Father's promise, and I'm going to it. You know, one of the things, I'm going to read this quote to you. I heard this thing. And I wrote it down, not knowing I was going to use it today. But it came to my mind. It says this, the bravest are surely those with the clearest vision of what is set before them. Glory or danger alike. Yet, notwithstanding, they go out to meet it. I heard that and it resonated within me, and I heard it a few weeks ago, and then I said, I got to write that down because I knew I just wouldn't be able to remember it. But now I look at this as the bravest. The one with the most courage is the ones that can see and have the clearest vision of God's promise. The clearest vision of God's promise will cause you to make adjustments in your life to go in that direction. The very direction of what he promised. Even though there's obstacles, there's breaches, there's things that are there by the enemy to prevent you, to stop you, to discourage you, to disappoint you, to disillusion you. But you see beyond all that to say, nope, I know what my God said. I know what my Father said, and that's where I'm going. I'm going to go through this in order to get that. Why? Because that's true destiny. That's the trueness of who he is. Why does he make adjustments? All through the Bible, with Israel, he would make adjustments with Israel, and he would cause Israel to make adjustments. And he'd tell them, do not worship these false idols. Do not fear them. And because once the false gods of the other nations, and once the false gods were there, they would begin to fear them, and then they would become worshipers of them, because they would begin to trust more in the falseness than they would the true and living God. But see, the whole thing that God brought them through and got them to adjust, where was he leading them? Where were the adjustments taking the people? To their promised land. When he starts making the adjustments and he starts putting these things in your life that you need to make adjustments in, I don't know what it is. Could be different things for you. You can rest assured that the direction that he's taking you is toward your inheritance. That's who he is. And he loves you that much. So this is part one of the adjustments of your life. So you pause for a moment and think about the promises. See, if you don't know his promises, you're not gonna know the future. You're not gonna know where your destiny is. Because you have to know the Bible, you have to know the Word, you get in the Bible, you have to study, you have to see the promises of God. There's a song that we just got to singing about the promises of God. They're true. I'll go through whatever we got to go through for the promises of God. Because they are yes and amen. They won't go away. They won't fail. They'll never fail you. The promises of God will never fail you. So, I don't know. You may be going through a difficult time. You may be going through a very hard thing right now. See, God wants you to make adjustments. What adjustment do I need to make, Pastor? Whatever is toward Him. See, Francis, when he said, the first step in a journey is departure. You're going to have to leave where you currently are if it's not where God wants you. And you start having to do what it is that He wants you to do, but you do it out of joy because you've seen the promise. You've seen the destiny. You've seen your future. And you've seen how it's going to impact people. The bravest are surely those who have the clearest vision of what's in front of them. Whether it's glory or whether it's pain or whether it's danger. And yet, notwithstanding, they go into it anyway. Why? They have seen what God has shown them. And they're on this journey and they've made the adjustment to boost them up into orbit with God instead of crashing and burning with thoughts of the flesh and with the purpose of the enemy. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy and your graciousness. Thank you that you're leading us to a full inheritance. And Lord, that we will be a people that are brave enough to enter in what you want us to do and make the adjustment to take the next step. Make the adjustment to do the next thing that you've been after us to do. Because you're leading us with your power. You're giving us your power to do it, your grace, enabling us to do everything that you've asked us to do. So Father, let us not shrink back from adjustments that we need to make and help us to understand, yes, this may cost us if we make the adjustment. It may cost us on this earth. It may cost us friends. It may cost us popularity. It may cost us a lot of other things. Yes, it may cost us, but it's been set before me and I see the joy of following Him because on the other side is my inheritance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.